Marvel Maniacs, welcome to another exciting episode of Guardians of the MCU. This is an extra special episode because this is episode number 50.
Woo!
We've hit 50.
It's our golden anniversary.
We're 50!
Yeah, well, we're not 50. I mean, we're 50 episodes old, not 50 years.
We are 50 old.
Yeah, yeah.
That's exciting.
So we are recording this on June 4th, 2019. 2019, yeah.
2019.
Yeah. I think I've done that before, too.
I like it.
It's okay.
It's very like the, thou, 29, on the 2019.
Yeah, yeah. And not breaking with tradition, we happen to be recording the night of the Dark Phoenix premiere.
Oh, we do like to do that.
At 9 o'clock starts the red carpet event for it. So
even though it's not MCU and it doesn't really count, we don't care about it.
Well, you know, still.
No, not still.
I still have some interest. I still have some interest.
Lizzie is
so
difficult.
Joining me, of course, are our wonderful hosts, Liz and John. I will let them introduce themselves and tell us what their favorite childhood cartoon was. Ladies first.
Human. John's first.
Hello, my name is John. No, my microphone is not messed up. I'm still sick for like 3 weeks now. But it's 50. They told me I had to come on. So sorry if my voice annoys people. Favorite childhood cartoon, definitely Thundercats.
Okay.
A good
ooh,
one.
Ooh, I want to take that back. Robotech.
Wow, really?
What is that?
All right.
I loved me some Robotech.
Okay.
What is that?
Robotech, it was like aliens invaded, and then they had basically F-14 Tomcats that turned into various forms of robots, and they fought in space.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, all right.
Yeah, good time.
It was Japanese anime. Early stuff. Loved it. I would love for Netflix or someone to make, like they did with Voltron, a modern, maybe slightly more adult version. I'd be very happy with that.
Yeah. Elizabeth.
And I am Lizzie. And, well, when I was little, my favorite was Lady Lovelocks, that no one's ever heard of. And also Gem and the Holograms, which I am Gem, obviously. But when I was older, my favorite was the Batman animated series, which isn't really I don't consider it a cartoon. It's, you know, it's more like mature animation storytelling.
Oh, look at you.
But yeah, that was when I was older, but we watched a lot of cartoons, but those were when I was little. So I'll go with those.
All right. Very good.
What are yours, Timothy?
I would have to say probably Transformers and G.I. Joe.
Those were high on my list, too.
Yeah. They were like my two favorites. I mean, they were... They probably aged the best with me. I mean, there were like when I was really young, like I loved Smurfs. Smurfs were outstanding. And then... When I got a little bit older, I liked the Voltron stuff. But, yeah, I think G.I. Joe and Transformers, they kind of lasted the longest. And then there was that travesty of the G.I. Joe movie, which was just weird.
We had the Transformers movie on VHS that was, like, our favorite. My brother and I used to watch it all the time.
Yep.
How can you talk about the travesty that was the G.I. Joe movie and not talk about the travesties that were the Transformer movies?
Because those didn't come out when we were kids and they don't count.
Yeah, because we're talking about animation. No, I'm talking about the animated. No. I'm talking about the animated G.I. Joe movie. The one where Cobra Commander turned into a snake. It's just weird.
No, no.
Yeah.
No, fair. I thought you were talking about the modern day travesty.
No.
Yeah. The one with Rihanna in it. No. Not that it was Rihanna's fault, but.
True.
Yeah.
All right, folks. Well, of course, you can find all of our shows over at randomchatter.com. We've got a bunch of great stuff over there. We definitely appreciate you leaving us reviews and spreading the word about us. Of important note, there has not been a review left of Guardians on Guardians of the MCU on iTunes for a little while. So, folks, let's kind of, you know, pick things up here a little bit. Let's
save us from iTunes obscurity.
Yeah, exactly.
Only you can save us.
That's right. It legitimately helps us rise in the search results. So when someone is looking for an MCU podcast, and there's a fair amount of them out there, having reviews helps people to find us. So it definitely does. It works.
And you know what they say on G.I. Joe time?
What's that?
Knowing is half the battle.
That's true. That's true, John. Nice way to tie in topics. Very good. Good job.
I'm on drugs.
Legal drugs.
Legal
prescription drugs.
Legal, all right, drugs.
Yeah.
Penicillin and steroids. I will not roid out on you.
Excellent. We also appreciate contributions to the network, randomchatter.com/Patreon. Just $1 a month helps us out quite a bit, and that can get you full access to our Discord community. You can also try out our Discord community. We kind of have a public side of it. Head over to randomchatter.com/Discord. That gets you into our public lobby and our show channels, including our channel for Guardians of the MCU. Higher contributions to Patreon get you access to some exclusive content that we do. And you can also support us by way of our T Public store. You can get some great Random Chatter merchandise from there. We have stuff with the classic Random Chatter Chattering Teeth logo. As a matter of fact, I know you guys can't see it, our listeners, but I do happen to be wearing our Random Chatter hoodie right now as I podcast. We also have, we put our brand new Guardians of the MCU logo up on the T Public store last week. And then this week, we put up the brand new DC Talk logo up on TeePublic. And so Mike reworked the DC Talk logo. And I love the fact that both of our logos, even though we talk about stuff that is generally on screen, both of our logos kind of harken back to the comic book origins of DC and Marvel. So that's it's a cool thing, and it's a cool synergy that I think both of the logos have. Which is awesome. So you can get t-shirts and hoodies and mugs, and you can get a pillow. John has a, you know, Random Chatter pillow that he snuggles up to every night. A little weird.
Pictures or it didn't happen.
Well, on the other side is Tim's face, so.
Oh, yikes. You're not supposed to tell people about that.
Oh. We're not recording right now, are we?
Yes,
no,
we
no,
are.
No, you're fine. Yes, this is bonus content for no one.
So
tell us more of your secrets, John.
So we have some great stuff up there on TeePublic, and we're going to be releasing some more logos up there as well. We know that we have a lot of folks who come to the network for our Star Wars shows. So we'll be getting some of those logos up on TeePublic as well, and maybe even some other stuff in the near future. So it's a great way to support us because it shows your love for us. And every sale, they throw us like a couple of bucks. So you buy a t-shirt, they throw us $2. It's an awesome thing. So it works out really well for everybody.
Like if they're throwing bills, it's fine. But if they throw change, that hurts, you know.
That does. It's all dollar bills, yo.
Yeah.
Did I say that right? Don't ever
say that again.
Tim, that was perfect.
Don't ever say that again.
Okay. Liz said it was good. John says it wasn't. Or no, Liz said it was bad. John said it was, I don't know.
Perfect.
No.
Yeah. No. All right. On to the news. So, Endgame Watch, which is what we're dubbing it here. Endgame has become the second film now to ever cross the $800 million mark domestically, which is pretty darn impressive.
Yes.
Globally is it, this is the big story now, though. Everyone is anticipating what this movie's doing globally. Globally, it has pulled in over $2.7 billion.
So.
We're at like 2.714-ish. Avatar is number one with 2.788. So that's a difference of about $74 million.
Not for long.
Now,
Everyone go out and see it again this weekend.
yeah, absolutely. So last week, just domestically, Endgame made over $26 million. Now that's for the week, not the weekend. Usually, if for folks who listen to our reports over on Random Chatter, we usually just report the weekend take, not the full week box office. So last week, Endgame made over $26 million domestically.
Yeah, it's gonna do it. It's only been just over a month. And you
Yeah.
know, probably gonna stay in theaters till Spider-Man Homecoming comes out. That's what they've been doing.
Yeah. Absolutely. It's last week it was still showing in over 3,000 theaters just in the US.
I love you,
So, I mean, that's really impressive. And just to put things in context, first of all, most films don't even open to 3,000 theaters. That's kind of like a higher mid-range opening. Endgame probably opened somewhere around like 4,300 theaters. That's usually like around the max. So to still be going at 3,000 theaters, again, there's films that are coming out this weekend that are not going to open to 3,000 theaters. It's simply not going to happen. Dark Phoenix is a big release. They might open to maybe 3,200 or 3,300 theaters. And they're going to drop pretty fast. For Endgame to still be in there at 3,000 is big. So I absolutely expect it's going to take still 2 or 3 more weeks, but Endgame is going to pass Avatar and be the number one grossing, not adjusted for inflation. That's a completely different discussion. The number one grossing film in the world all time. That's absolutely
100%.
expected. Yeah. But
And
yes,
as
definitely
well it
support it and
should
go see it
be,
again.
as we've discussed. It's something that's so unique and special. This it should be reflected in our history.
Totally.
And hopefully James Cameron will acknowledge this one as well.
Well, he did with the other. I'm sure
Oh,
he will.
no, I'm sure he will.
Yeah.
I'll be curious to see how he does it with this one.
Yeah. So we've covered some mentions before about Disney Plus being connected to the MCU or integrated with the MCU. But we've gotten some quotes here recently from some folks that are really like underscoring that these Disney Plus shows are going to be like directly impacting the MCU. So things that happen in these shows are going to have some legit consequences and impact across the MCU itself, which I think is pretty awesome. So one of these quotes comes from Mary Livanos, who was the producer for Captain Marvel. She said that, quote, "They will directly affect the rest of the MCU in some very real ways. That's what makes the opportunity to segue into the streaming space so attractive to us at Marvel Studios. You can really tell, like a full comic book event or like a multi-issue story from the point of storytelling." So they're really looking at this to like unfold, and I think they're going to take advantage of the medium. Like we talked about before, hey, it's great that you have a 2, 2.5 hour, 3 hour long movie, but that's just kind of a one single shot in time. Whereas with a series, even if it's only like 6 episodes long, and these episodes are probably going to be somewhere between 45 minutes and 1 hour and 15 long, but you have 6 of them. So you can really tell a great story within that number of episodes.
And I would still really like to see. So I know they occasionally do it with movies still, and they've done it in comics where if they've got a big story, they release, a comic or like a one-shot comic to kind of explain some of the characters. And Thanos's minions, and now I can't think of their name right now.
Children of Thanos.
The black
The Black Order. Was it the Black Order?
Yes, Black Order.
Okay. having something like the streaming service, or maybe not before like Infinity War came out, but like afterwards, dropping, a mini series that just kind of talks about them, make it like 4 episodes. And that gives us the backstory on them that we all said would have been really cool to have, didn't need it in the movie. Use those kind of cross platforms to kind of explore either, backstories or explain some folks. And they don't need to be big and drawn out, but to me, that is just a perfect platform to do something like that.
Oh, it totally is. I'm all about some Squidward or Ebony Maw.
And I think, I mean, this says that they know that and that that's what they're looking to do. And I think with the announcements that they made of the Loki series, the What If series, the WandaVision series, the Hawkeye series, like that's this is them knowing that what the power of this platform is as far as storytelling is concerned and filling in those gaps that they just don't have time for and shouldn't take time for in a
Absolutely.
you
Right.
know, like you're saying in the context of the movie, because you really have to be concise in that. So this is a place where you don't have to be.
Yeah, telling a story in a movie is very different from telling a story that's serialized. Now, the potential concern here, I think, is that if they do some like really legitimate things that are then referenced, not just referenced, but like actually impactful to the films, we're probably going to have folks who don't have Disney Plus, who don't see the shows, who are going to bitch about it because they're not seeing it. And we kind of have, in over on the Star Wars side of things, that is something that they've really committed to not doing, which I think severely impacts like some of their books and such, and even some of their other mediums, like the animated shows and stuff, which are all great and they all have really good stories. But ultimately, in the end, the impact to film has very, very little meaning because they don't want to have someone who's not consuming these other mediums show up and watch a Star Wars film and say, I don't get it.
I would go further to say that that lack of connection has hurt the films, in my estimation, because what they're doing in their other platforms is stronger storytelling. And to not connect those dots in any way, Rebels and Clone Wars and was it just the two? Is there a third one?
Resistance.
Resistance
Resistance now,
are
yeah.
such smart, well done, expansive, you know, full-fledged, really developed stories and character arcs, not only with like outer rim characters like in Resistance, but core characters like Anakin and Obi-Wan in the Clone Wars. So to not have that connection, I think it hurts the movie verse to not go the other way, you know? And so I don't think that they're thinking, oh, we'll do what Star Wars isn't doing, because I think they're thinking very much that they're separate things and offering different things for each audience. I wish they would think, let's do what Marvel's doing and have those cross connections, because they make storytelling more powerful both ways, from the movies to the television, which is what hurt Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. initially, and from the shows back, you know?
It is, but does it alienate people who maybe are slightly more casual fans who are just seeing the movies and maybe not interested in consuming other things, or folks who maybe financially say, "Hey, I would love to see these Disney Plus shows, but I can't afford, that subscription."
I mean, I don't think so, because I think if you're doing good storytelling, then you can tell a one-off. I think the way that if you think about the way they did the entire Infinity War saga is the best way to think about it. Anyone could enter any of those entry points at any time and feel like they got something out of just watching the Iron Man trilogy, just watching the Captain America trilogy, or any of the movies on their own. But to watch them as a whole builds on itself, as we know, and becomes a greater, beautiful universe. I think that's the same case with TV shows and books edition. It's really important to keep the separation of saying like this is its own story and it does impact the other, but you could still enjoy the other without seeing it. But I think that that's what they did with the film, with the, you know, with the MCU. And there's no reason to think that that couldn't be the case with extra shows and other content. It's like with the one shots. You didn't need to watch the one shots throughout when they were doing them. Like the Thor one with his roommate when he wasn't in Civil War, or the Peggy Carter one prior to the TV show, which actually doesn't fit in the world actually at all.
John, what are your thoughts on the topic? Or do you have any?
I mean, I think they can find a good balance, which I think is kind of what Liz was getting to, where, you know, they will enhance, hopefully they can do it so that if you see the shows, it'll enhance your movie watching experience, but it's not like necessary or required. And I mean, I'll give the example of Captain Marvel, because the timing between it and Endgame, I mean, I had a lot of people who asked me, hey, do I need to see Captain Marvel to get Endgame?
Right.
And I said, do you know who Captain Marvel is? And they said, yep. Or if they said no, I gave a 2-sentence line of who she was. And I said, okay, I'm like, you don't, if you see it, it'll make the movie better.
Yeah.
If you don't see it, you're not missing anything if you know who the character is. So, I mean, hopefully they can find a good blend of things like that, not, you know, have huge spoilery moments. But I could see them also wanting to do some of that to drive subscriptions.
Yeah.
To drive buzz, where people are like, oh my God, did you see when Falcon said, you know what, Bucky, I'm not worthy, you take the shield.
What?
No reaction from Tim on that. Nothing.
That's not going to happen. After everything we've been through.
Right. Nope. Well, further with this, Kevin Feige, who, of course, if we don't quote Kevin Feige at least once per episode, we're doing something wrong. He said these are going to be major storylines set within the MCU with ramifications that are going to be felt through the other Disney Plus series we're producing, as well as our features on the big screen. A post-Endgame MCU will be extremely different and extremely focused on Disney Plus, tying into our future movies. So that statement, I mean, it definitely does make sense that they're making branding-wise a big push with this brand new streaming service. And John, you were really just saying that. I mean, they want to sell subscriptions to this. So they're going to push that pretty hard. It's certainly not going to overshadow the films, but yeah, they're going to have some emphasis on this.
Makes sense. I mean, they need to, it is a big competitive market in streaming services, which we've talked about. And so any way to drive more subscriptions, the better.
Yeah. Yeah.
I just don't see them having a problem with subscriptions.
No, not at all.
Out of everybody starting new things, I just, like, people don't, it's not like they don't know what to expect from Disney, Marvel, Star Wars.
Yeah. I'm just disappointed that like they keep CBS. Sending my check back.
Although I will say CBS might have me with this Picard show, but you know, I feel like CBS has something to prove. Disney doesn't have that. So I don't think that they have to worry about this kind of thing of being like, let me entice you with these other shows. They're going to have all the Star Wars on streaming. That has not happened yet. Done. People are going to want it just for that.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I mean, they're going to be, Disney's just vomiting content all over Disney Plus, and people are going to pay money for it. So
we know we are.
Yeah, totally. Speaking of Disney Plus, though, and we're not ready yet to get into any particular details on it, but I do just want to let our listeners know that we're having a lot of discussions here at the Random Chatter Network about how we are going to handle Disney Plus. Particularly on the MCU side of things and the Star Wars side of things. There are shows there. We know that we want to cover those shows and discuss the content of those shows. And there is definitely not time to do any discussion of those shows to do them any justice in our current podcast, at least the way our current podcasts are structured. So we are working on some things here behind the scenes, and hopefully in the next month or so, we'll be able to make maybe some preliminary announcements about what we're doing. And then as time nears, we will have some more definitive detailed announcements of things. But things just to let folks know, things are we've been talking about it quite a bit. We know we want to do something with it. We're really excited about this stuff. And we're going to be doing something with it here.
Cool.
Oh, let's see. Oh, so this is kind of interesting. You should probably give a follow over on Twitter to the handle is Roger Wardell, Roger Wardell. Roger Wardell. This is an account that has given some accurate predictions of things over the last several months in terms of some specific characters and storylines and such occurring. And we don't know who this person is. We don't know who the person is behind the Twitter handle. But they do post some pretty interesting things. And just a few days ago, they had put up what they're alleging to be the slate of films for essentially the next decade for the MCU. And a lot of these are not a big stretch. When we go through this list, people are going to say, well, yeah, duh, we knew that was coming out. But there's some ones that are a little further in that maybe have been talked about, but not really in a lot of in any definitive context, I guess. So this person's posting Black Widow, which obviously we knew, the Eternals, Black Panther 2, Shang-Chi, Doctor Strange 2, which we assumed, Guardians 3, which we knew about. After Guardians 3, these seem to be in order. After Guardians 3, they're posting a Nova film, which we talked about maybe a couple episodes ago here on Guardians of the MCU. Thor 4, which has been heavily rumored. Ant-Man 3, which is unfortunate. Captain Marvel 2. The New Avengers. The Young Avengers. And the Dark Avengers. Go.
No, I'm not substantiating any of this. No, it's some faceless nobody who's, I don't care how many predictions he has come true. This isn't like a real thing from an actual executive. Nope.
Well,
You guys, go ahead.
it's certainly not official news, but it seems to not be far-fetched. It all seems very believable.
Well, sure, but you could have anything be believable because as Marvel owns the entire slate of their everything now, and they can do whatever the heck they want with any property that they want. And we know they're going to bring in X-Men stuff. We know they're gearing up to things like passing the torch to other people. We know a lot of these are getting second and third installments. I don't know. I don't like rumors. You know how I feel about rumors like this.
So the couple comments I'll make. I still have no desire to see a Nova movie.
You'll see it if it comes out.
I know. The Young Avengers, it wouldn't fit the timeline. They'd have to speed. Well, I guess they wouldn't have to speed things up because we already did the time jump. So maybe not.
And they're Marvel, they do what they want.
That's fair.
If they tell you that it's in the timeline, you'll believe them.
Also true. I am intrigued by the idea of Norman Osborn being the new Earth-based big bad and kind of crossing over between the Spider-Verse and the MCU proper.
Well, so let's tie that in because there is a tie-in here between this and another prediction that not only has this Twitter account put out, but we've also seen on We've seen some other news stories kind of perpetuate this rumor a bit. And they're saying that Spider-Man Far From Home is actually going to introduce Norman Osborn. And so Norman Osborn in the comics has a really, really far reach. He's not just Green Goblin. Norman Osborn, I mean, he has, through the years, essentially supplanted Tony Stark. He has become more powerful politically than, like, characters like Kingpin. Has been looked upon as a hero, even though the stuff he's doing behind the scenes are really shady. But publicly, people are like, oh, this Norman Osborn guy, he's really awesome, and he's doing great things. And the stuff that he's done has had some really, really legit consequences in the MCU. I don't know, a couple weeks ago, I was binging through an epic crapload of Moon Knight stuff that I had picked up on Comixology, and one of the storylines I was reading was that Norman Osborn had kicked Moon Knight out of New York City. And the storyline I was reading was Norman Osborn, or Moon Knight, coming back to New York City and trying to work his way up to get to Osborn. And it was challenging because Norman Osborn basically had the police department in his pocket, along with all of these other entities, which we would have looked upon as thugs, but they were, you know, quote, fighting for the good guy. Mm-hmm. And so your reference, John, is linking up with Dark Avengers, whereas in the comics, that's a team that's actually headed up by Norman Osborn and has a bunch of who we would traditionally call villains in it. But the Avengers, they're supposed to be, at least on the surface, they are an Avengers team. They're good guys.
Yeah, this was after post-Civil War.
Right.
Where they, kind of the government took over. And so Norman Osborn became Iron Patriot.
Yep.
Which was basically War Machine, but painted in the Stars and Stripes.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to be so mad if that's spoiled here on this show. I'm going to be so mad at you for spoiling that for everyone and for me. Just warning that when I walk out of the theater and Far From Home and you have a text, you better watch out because I'll be right behind you and I'm going to be pissed.
So,
and I'm going to yell at you.
So, Tim, would you call Norman Osborn? Is he someone that you would say is maybe a genius, a billionaire, playboy, philanthropist?
I don't think we'd call him a playboy.
And definitely not a philanthropist.
Okay.
He is a, like, non-philanthropist.
All right,
they've never portrayed him as being a philanthropist, ever.
So without the suit, he's not those things?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
He's a billionaire.
It'll be real interesting to see if they do this, and like you had mentioned, John, what, you know, if we're crossing, how much of an involvement we're going to have of Spider-Man in this. Is Norman Osborn going to also kind of cross over into the Sony Spider-Verse as well? Or is he just going to stay properly in the MCU? I mean, Norman Osborn is, regardless of his involvement in things like the Avengers, et cetera, Norman Osborn is a Spider-Man villain. So Sony has rights to Norman Osborn. So it would be really interesting to see if Marvel negotiated some terms of use for Norman Osborn to go a while and to potentially be at least an Earthbound big bad to kind of go on for a few movies. I don't know.
Let's say that if Marvel wants it, Sony will find a way to make it.
Oh, yeah.
True.
They kind of hold a lot of cards.
Yeah.
And
I will say,
and a lot of cash.
Yeah. That's what I meant by cards. But I will be sad to see anyone but Willem Dafoe play him, because I think he is such a wonderful, like, that classic villainy.
Oh, yeah. He was so creepy.
perfect
so
goblin,
creepy. It
perfect
was, yeah.
Osborn, because you could tell that he genuinely cared about his son too, but he like hit the narcissism was too much for him.
Yeah, the narcissism, you know, and, the schizophrenia, the yeah. all that stuff. Like,
oh, he's
yeah.
just next level. So I just think the bar is very high, yep. and the kid that played him in the Andrew Garfield ones, I mean, that was just a complete misstep in general, but I respect going in such a different direction that they wouldn't have to compete with that vision of Norman, but like, that's just gonna be tough for anybody.
yeah so, you know, it's interesting what they're gonna do with this if they do it. I don't know about Norman Osborn being the big bad, but what I do like about him is that they do kind of set him up as, there is a lot of potential to set him up as like this, again, kind of a kingpin character where he's largely working behind the scenes and doing a lot of manipulation, but then also when needed, he can come out and fight in the, you know, the persona of Green Goblin if need be. So it's interesting. And we may have a Norman Osborn from this particular timeline or a Norman Osborn from another timeline. And
the
we're actually going to
multiverse in play.
Yeah. Yeah. And the multiverse is something that we're actually going to talk about in a little bit, because I think there's some fascinating ideas that we can really dig into and such, with where things might go in the future of the Marvel universe. Let's see. Another news item here is that we are apparently waiting on a title of a new Marvel video game, which is expected to be released at E3, which is the big video gaming convention that is going to be held here, I think, in another week or two. And basically the I wouldn't say the working title, but the thing that it's kind of publicly known as or publicly called is the Marvel Avengers Project. And this is something coming out from Crystal Dynamics, which is the game developer. And people are really expecting this to be big. There's a lot of very interesting marketing coming out from this that's kind of like that subversive marketing, like, hey, we're going to talk about something, but we're not going to tell you what we're going to talk about. And there's even folks that are expecting that there may be a Marvel gaming universe that's going to eventually develop from this. And I think they're really looking at a lot of the success of the Spider-Man video game that came out last year, because I mean, there's folks who are saying that that game was better than any Spider-Man movie, even just because it had such incredible story work in it and character development, and the game itself was just incredibly well built and a lot of fun to play. I've not played it. John, did you tell me you played it?
I haven't, because it's PlayStation only.
Oh, okay. Liz, you're not big into gaming. I don't know if you've played it or not.
No, I mean, I like gaming. I just don't have any platforms, and I haven't gamed in a long time, so it's just not, I just don't have the access to it. But it's not that I don't like it. I just don't do it.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, we're kind of looking to see what that's going to be about. And really, even with E3, we don't know if we're going to get any, like, demos of it or imagery from it, anything more than a title. We're just not sure. Certainly when it happens, we'll report on it here and we'll let people know. But there's a lot of heavy anticipation for this, and this is a big thing. Depending on how good it is, it may even convince me to get a platform. I think it's going to be released first on PlayStation. That seems to be the talk over on Reddit. So
I've heard rumors of that too. Yeah. And my son and I have already had a conversation if that means we need a PlayStation 2.
Yep. Let's see. Black Widow has reportedly started shooting in Norway just this past week. And actually, we are hoping, I've been having some discussions with her, in the near future, we're going to have someone who seems to have a really good line on stuff for the Black Widow film. So we're looking to have her on sometime in the very near future on the show to talk about what she knows about the Black Widow film. She has a really, really good material that she puts out. it seems to be insanely accurate, and in a lot of cases the stuff that she's putting out comes out a couple days. We see it from her a couple days before it even hits mass media. So she has a pretty good line on this stuff. And the last news item that we have here is that the last season, season 3 of Jessica Jones, will be releasing on Netflix on June 14th. So I am very much looking forward to that. It'll be sad to have it be the last chapter of any of this Netflix era stuff. But Jessica Jones, I think, has been fantastic. I love the second season. Loved it. So I'm really looking forward to this season.
I forgot to tell you guys. So I went to MegaCon, and as part of my job as press for the Marvel Report, and I went to the Luke Cage panel for Mike Coulter, and somebody stood up and asked him when season 3 was coming out.
Oh.
Everybody in the audience turned and was like, what
wow.
is wrong with you? And, he, oh. and poor Mike got like this like look on his face like, dude.
Wow, there's it someone who's like uninformed.
So uninformed. I was like, I just felt bad for Mike because he was like,
yeah,
man. He's like, I really, the poor guy, I mean, he must literally live in a box, because he was like, I really love Luke Cage, you know, I can't wait to see more. When is season 3 coming out? We were all like, sit down.
Yeah, so, I'll never.
From the con.
Yeah, it's, you know, I hate to bash people for, like, not knowing stuff.
Not everybody's as informed as we are, for sure.
Yeah, yeah, not everyone is informed. Not everyone is on social media. Not everyone, you know, is listening to podcasts and reading blogs and that kind of stuff. But, that's just so widely known. So, I don't know.
And it's just one thing if you'd never watched the show, which would be like, why are you at the panel? You know, like, maybe you like him for an upcoming project, or you've heard about him. You know what I mean? But I feel like if you've watched it, a simple Google search, the first thing that comes up is that it's canceled. So it seems like living out in the boondocks. Like, you don't have internet access, maybe.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
But anyways, that was just a little tidbit that happened from the con that everybody was just like, where do you live? Like, what rock do you live under?
Yeah, that's rough. That's rough. So a few weeks ago, I had put up on our Discord, our show Discord channel, letting folks know, hey, we're going to have our 50th episode coming up. What ideas do you have for us to discuss? So we had some ideas from our listeners, some pretty good things. We had this first one I do laugh at a bit. So Erasure, who is a big listener of, I think he listens to every or almost every show on the network, and he's a huge, huge supporter,
him
and his wife. Yeah. So he mentioned, if we didn't do it already, rank all the films and discuss.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah. So here's the thing with that. First of all, I think very early on we did our top three.
Top three or top five.
That was like in the first few episodes. The thing is, like, so many shows have done a full ranking. And I think the reason why we haven't, I think there's a few reasons for that. Liz, I know you've said in the past that basically your ranking of these movies could change by the hour.
Literally.
Yeah.
And also, I think there's a giant middle ground as far as these movies are concerned. And for me, the major hitters are the tops and the bottoms. So I think when you get into that middle ground, it can get really muddy as far as trying to, for me individually, to try to collate some sort of like one better than the other situation. Mm-hmm. So I think the polarization of greats, goods and bads for me is the best way to discuss them and to rank them. And when you just get into those, for example, Ant-Man is neither high nor low on my list. I really enjoy it, but I don't feel like for me, it has a pull. I know Tim doesn't, but for me, it doesn't have a polarization of feeling. It's not like in my top five, or I didn't hate it. I liked it a lot, but it's very middle ground. And so I don't know that those are as interesting to talk about. You know what I mean? When you're talking about like a full list in a podcast format, I think in a blog format or like some sort of written situation, that works really, really well. But for us, I don't know that that is the best way for us to discuss it, which is why we went with something more like the just the tops and the bottoms.
Yeah, it's it can be challenging. I mean, the perspectives change a lot. I mean, really, I mean, any given day I might, you know, shuffle that ranking around a little bit. And I think a lot of folks know our impressions of them. And also with 22 movies, it can get kind of tedious after a while.
Well, yeah.
So, yeah, I think like, you know, if sometime in the future we were going to discuss it again, I don't know that we would go through all the movies. We might say, okay, what are our, you know, top five, bottom five kind of thing.
I think we should revisit our that episode that we did of our favorites. Now that we've had more movies come out,
true.
We may have some adjustments. And as you just said, we do have adjustments even within favorites we've had from the beginning.
Yeah.
Put things that do take on new love or new appreciation. So I think it would be worth revisiting our lists.
Yeah.
I don't know about a full 22 movie like breakdown,
yeah,
but
right.
maybe
right.
after Spider-Man, we could like revisit it.
That makes sense.
Cause that would be, you know, three new movies just this year on the list, you know, with Captain Marvel and Game and Spider-Man. So,
true.
You know, that'd be worth a revisit.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not a bad idea. Let's see. Mitz had mentioned predictions for the future of the MCU, both realistic and fantasy, which I think we do. Like, we've never really set aside like a segment for that, but we do some of that.
We do it before a big movie comes out. We talk about our predictions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So like that's kind of an ongoing thing.
Or we talk about how Lizzie hates predictions.
Yeah, yes. and then Lizzie
generally
does hate predictions,
when
so
Liz isn't on.
Yeah, so we do try to avoid that as a specific thing. Mitz also mentioned best moments of the past and most surprising moments. We're actually going to cover some of that, so I just want to go through some of the other suggestions here. David said, go through the storylines in the comics and compare them to what was shown in the movies, especially things like Civil War and Infinity Gauntlet. Which those are really, really good ideas. And before we started this show, Eric and I were going to do just some show, like a random chatter bonus episode or something, talking about the Infinity Gauntlet series in the comics. And this was before even Infinity War came out. So we didn't quite know where they were going to go with some of this stuff. And just to kind of like summarize that and talk about it and give some of our predictions prior to the movie coming out. And that may be worth doing at some point in the future, even though we've gotten those storylines. But I think for folks who maybe aren't fans of the comics, just to kind of talk about what some of the differences are and maybe why they did or didn't do certain things, at least to our best guess. I mean, there's things like, mm-hmm. the Infinity Gauntlet series, which there were a lot of things they didn't do in it simply because they didn't own the characters at the time. You know, Silver Surfer was a huge player in Infinity Gauntlet. Wolverine was a huge player in Infinity Gauntlet, but they simply, you know, Marvel didn't own the characters. So they couldn't do certain things with those, but they did have analogs. Surprisingly enough, Hulk was the analog for an early pivotal Silver Surfer moment. You know, Silver Surfer crashing down into Doctor Strange's sanctum. Hulk did that. And, you know, so they certainly drew a lot of inspiration still. So I think that's a good future topic for us if we have a slow news week or something, because that's a kind of a prolonged discussion, but that's something we can definitely get into. So what we are going to talk about here, Frank had mentioned our top our best MCU moments and worst MCU moments, and then a few other people like Mitz and Brian picked up on that and they really liked that particular idea, and I thought that was something that we could jump into pretty easily. in this. Liz came up with a list of 800 moments, and we're not going to go into
our 50th episode.
We're not going to talk about 50. No.
I'll do what I want, and you'll be surprised by what I do.
You're just going to make me do a lot of editing.
Get right. You'll be surprised by whatever Liz does, because she will do what she wants.
Just like Disney.
Yep. That's right. That's right.
If
Liz
is
the Disney.
Personal embodiment of Disney. It's me.
True.
So we're gonna have a few discussion topics here tonight, and this is really gonna be our first one. So first of all, thank you very much to the folks that gave us some feedback on Discord about the things we should talk about.
Yeah, that's super cool.
Yeah, that's great. So we're definitely addressing this one now. And like I said, in the future, there are some of those topics that we will be looking forward to covering. So for this one, let's hopefully maybe keep it like 3 to 5, if that's fair, Liz.
Can't see my face, but you'll be surprised.
Favorite and least favorite moments across all of the MCU. And I will let ladies go first, since clearly she's very well prepared for this.
Rude.
I was complimenting you.
No, I know. No, I mean, I think the whole thing is that I'm not prepared because I can't choose. It's hard for me. I will tell you one of my least favorite. I'm going to start with least because I like to start. I like to end on the positive. So I'm going to tell you one thing that I despise in the MCU. And I think that this is great because, I give it a lot of props. I love it deeply. And I don't often just rip something apart. But there's a moment in Iron Man 2, no surprise, that my least favorite moment comes from Iron Man 2. But it's when...
One of the greatest MCU movies there is.
Dear God, it's horrible. There's two parts. I'll tell you both parts. Number one, it's my board. I hate that freaking whole part. Bird, dumbest thing. It's so stupid. It has no consequence on the story. It is a dumb character tick that they just, I don't know. I feel like Mickey just came up with it. He's like, I'm going to have this thing about a bird, but I'm going to say bored. Is that cool? Sure. Go ahead, Mickey. Like, whatever you want. I think it's dumbest. Every time I'm like, why did I watch this? And the second one is the, like, I know that, like, Natasha's a spy and she's supposed to be, like, mysteriously sexy. But the way that Iron Man 2 really, like, grossly sexualizes her in just from, like, the lingerie shoot coming up, like, that needed to be a part of it in any way, shape, or form. And Tony's comments about the lingerie shoot to Pepper, who he's trying to woo, like, to me is, like, complete garbage as far as like toxic masculinity, toxic like way to write one of the first and badassest female characters in the MCU. So I feel like their handling of her in the very beginning was just so like sexy secretary, and I know it's a deflection and I know like that's just what she's evolved from, but I hate that that's her entry point. I hate that that's how they started her off. And then even when after they come through that and then she makes her entrance into the cafe when he's talking to Nick Fury and it's an ass shot, just an ass shot of her.
Yeah.
Like that's even to go further. Now you know that she's an agent. Now you know that she's not just some sexy secretary and she's meant to be there. And it's an ass shot. That drives me crazy. And I think those are part of the reasons why it's really hard for me to like Iron Man 2. Sorry. I'm short as a breath from my anger. I think those are the reasons. I don't think as a movie it is as bad as I feel that it is, because things like I like Justin Hammer. Sam Rockwell is one of my favorite actors. I think he's
Justin
brilliant.
Justin Hammer is awesome.
Yeah, I think that there's a lot of Black Widow's like badassery, like when she takes down Happy or when she does the whole move in the hall and all that. Those are awesome moments. But I think the juxtaposition of how she's written in general and how she's thought of as this just uber sexualized like girl piece of ass, I hate that. Like I really, really, it grates on me. And so it's really hard for me to watch that movie on repeat because of those things. So
sure.
For me, those are the low points of the MCU. And it's beautiful to see how far they've come from that sort of like treating women like, oh, the one female Avenger is just a gigantic ass and boobs that you put in lingerie. You know what I mean? So that for me, is like the low that they were just like, let's just make her some dumb, sexy secretary that we can just show her ass because she has one. That for me is a nope.
I can't disagree with you there, Liz. I totally see where you're coming from with it, and I do agree with it. I think it's I understand plot wise and story wise. Like you said, it's kind of a misdirection thing. Like, oh look, eye candy, and then oh yeah, she's a total badass. By the way, there could have been other ways that they could have done that, which wouldn't have just immediately objectified her. So
yeah, I
totally get that
way out. And I get it. Like, you know, it's men writing for women. And so a lot of times there's just a disconnect. It doesn't have to be, but I feel in this situation, it is a glaringly obvious that they just sort of were like, you know, like we're really focusing on Tony and the other dudes. Let's just half ass her in front of Pepper. Like that to me is like, what are you doing? So I don't know. For me, that's the low. Tim, what's your low?
All right. So my lows. First
of all,
you
don't have to start with your low. But
so
I like
I like your arrangement of doing things. So I'm going to mirror yours. So I'm going to go first to Iron Man 3, and that is the BS Mandarin. I was really disappointed, and I loved Ben Kingsley's iteration of Mandarin. I thought it was absolutely awesome, and I was so disappointed in the movie when it was like, yeah, he's not really Mandarin. I was so bummed about that. That was just a big disappointment to me.
Fair enough.
Let's see, my next one is, and I think I talked about this way back when we reviewed Spider-Man Homecoming. And that was the fight on the top of the plane. Just like the physics in that, for some reason, still absolutely bother me. It was just weird. I didn't like it. My third one is, well, anything Giant Man. Because for as much as Ant-Man bothers me, Giant Man really bothers me. Because it's like, oh, we have a problem that can't be solved with a, you know, microscopic entity, so we're just going to put in a giant. And that just bugs the living crap out of me. I don't like it. And my runner-up...
Even when they did the AT-AT move?
Yes.
Okay.
I have a runner-up, so I have my bottom three plus a runner-up. And my runner-up... You can send your hate mail to tim@randomchatter.com.
Uh-oh.
Is Professor Hulk.
Oh, that's okay.
Do not like Professor Hulk. I, nope.
Ooh, see, Tim, he almost made my list too. I'll add him as my honorable mention.
Sweet. John, what are your least favorite MCU moments?
Number one, without even a close contender to number two, Fat Thor. already covered?
Yeah.
He did cover it.
Hating Fat Thor. Number...
Oh, wait. Can I just say one thing before you move on? Did you see that they wanted to make Thor skinny right before the big battle, but Chris Hemsworth fought? Did you talk about it last week? Did I miss it?
No, we didn't talk about it, but I saw the article.
Yeah, but Hemsworth fought for him to stay fat the whole time. Because of body positivity, which is what I said about it when we talked about it, is that it's more positive for him to have stayed fat. But you didn't like that he was fat in general. I know that, but I just wanted to mention that.
So number two, and I'm going to be prepared to be yelled at by Liz for this. Iron Man 3, with the whole premise that he couldn't be in the suit because the suit was charging up. Yet the suit ran on the power in the damn arc reactor in his chest. So why did the suit need to be powered by a car battery when he has an arc reactor in his chest?
True.
I won't fight you on that one. I think it's dumb, but it doesn't mean I didn't like it.
All right. That bothered me. Still bothers me.
I don't have as big a problem with some continuity things as much as you guys do.
Okay.
If you put me in the feels, I really don't care. I'll let it go.
And then number 3 in Captain America Winter Soldier, the first fight, the one that he has with George's Batroc, where he finally finds someone equally matched to him. So what does he do? Puts his shield away, takes off his helmet, and then decides to fight the guy.
Yeah.
Why? Why? You finally found a guy.
I love that fight.
But he doesn't. The thing is, it's a dumb move. It's an ego move. And Cap doesn't owe that dude anything.
Yeah. No, he doesn't. It's, you know, it's, oh, we're equals, so I'm going to put this away. No, you've got a mission to accomplish. Just kick his ass and move on.
Yeah.
Well, also, he baits him. And the fact that he rises. You're right. You're correct.
Exactly.
Okay. So those are mine.
Nice.
All right. Liz, how about your top 3-ish?
Oh, no. This is terrible. Well, okay. It's actually, I'm going to put a couple in one category.
Okay.
That way it'll save us some time here. The first category would be those epic group shots. For me, that is the feels of Marvel. It's why Avengers remains number one on my list, regardless of whatever else comes along. That is my number one. And it's that sweeping shot of the six. It's that shot in the winter, like in the snow in Ultron, when they're all jumping off of the thing and it freezes. It's the shot in Endgame when everybody finally comes. And it's at the funeral, too, when they sweep through all the different groups. Those shots, to me, I'm getting chills just thinking about it. Or like in Guardians, they have those in each of the Guardians movies. When people come together like that, and especially after a separation, so you're talking about you didn't have that in Infinity War, the Endgame one just murders me every time I think about it. But the things like that just hit me so deeply and so hard. So I think I'm going to put all of those in my very, very top category, because each of those, it's something I look forward to, something it's what I talked about all before Endgame came out. What are we going to get that shot? We didn't have it in Infinity War. It was missing for me. So those to me are like my be all and end all. It's what Avengers is to me. It's what Marvel has become to me, is those moments of togetherness, those moments of epic group just blows my mind. And I love it. So that's number one, is all of those. Anytime there's ever a group shot, be like, oh, this is for Liz.
I totally agree. Totally.
Yeah.
Agree.
It's just everything to me. That one, like with Loki on the ground and then you look up and they're all three looking over him. Love it. Number two, very, very close second, is Cap getting Mjolnir. Like, I am never going to be over that. Never. Like, I don't think that there's, it's tough for me to put anything above that, but because it's such a giant category, the group shot thing, I'm going to put it slightly above it. But dude, when he you just see it hovering and then he does the, like, he catches it. I want to burst into tears right now just thinking about it, because it makes me so happy. And so my dad and I, he finally saw it a couple weeks ago, and we had like long discussions about it. Because he's a nerd too, he loves the MCU, and we talked about Ultron and how they sort of plant the seed there. Is it that he's not worthy yet? Is it that he just knows it's not his time yet? Does Thor make that face because he thinks Cap is worthy, and he's like, why didn't he pick it up? Or is it because he, you know, like all of those kinds of things, the threads that led to that moment. For me, like that moment trumps like everything else. And then I don't know that I have a third one solidly. Like, I feel like we'd get into, like, here's the 17 other things that I love about the MCU if I try to pick a third one. So I'm going to go with those as my top things that just, like, if I thought about them too deeply right now, would probably make me cry.
Cool. No, I think those are great. So my top ones are, first and foremost, the original, the very first time it was said, Tony saying, I am Iron Man.
Oh. Yep, that was close on my list.
That, to me, like, was just like jump up cheering in the theater kind of moment. Like, that was awesome. Absolutely awesome. Yes. Cap's fight in the elevator in Winter Soldier.
Cap. Oh.
I freaking loved that whole scene. And I love that, before we start, does anyone want to get off? I love that. And then just, epically beats a snot out of everybody. And he takes a few licks. So it was like legit. It wasn't just him totally dominating. So I love that bit to it. Also in Winter Soldier, for some reason, even though it's not like one of our main heroes, the ambush of Nick Fury.
Interesting.
When he's driving down the street and,
Because you love Sam.
I do. I love, absolutely love Sam Jackson. And it was just such a great moment. And him interfacing with the AI in his SUV was just freaking hilarious. Where he's like, call this person. Well, your communication system is out. Well, do this. Well, this system is out. What does work? The air conditioning is fully operational. And if they could have just gone just for that moment to rated R, we would have gotten pure Sam Jackson. But I love that whole moment where, like, it breaks, they break his arm, and then they have the battering ram on the side of the SUV, and they draw that moment out just long enough, to the integrity of the door. When they're hitting the door with the battering ram, you're like, oh my gosh, the next hit, it's gonna go. And then, his deploy countermeasures, which is this little freaking mini machine gun that pops out of the center console. By the way, I want one of those.
That's not allowed.
Yeah.
You're not allowed to have that
So
firepower.
I love that whole, and then leading up to, he's now getting away, and Bucky slides that magnetic grenade in underneath the SUV. The SUV flips through the air, which was like this really, really epic flip. And then Bucky approaches the vehicle, and Fury has, cut his way into the sewer system. So it was just, I love that entire scene, beginning to end. It's awesome. My runner-up, my honorable mention, is not one particular moment, but it is the entire evolution of Falcon's gear. And just before we started recording, just because it happened to be on TV, I was watching Civil War. And like that's when Falcon's gear is like seriously upgraded. He's got the drone, he's got the wings that don't just like fold in, they are fully integrated into the backpack. So he just like jumps off the roof of the building, and all of a sudden, poof, he's got full wings. And then later on the ground, he's able to, grab a wing and use it as a shield and stuff. Just awesome stuff. I love that tech, that they integrated into it. It was a serious upgrade, and it was awesome. And I love Falcon, and yeah. So those are my favorite moments. John.
I'm with Liz. I didn't put anything above it, but Cap and Mjolnir. By far, and I mean, stomping my feet and dancing in the reclining chair in the theater and having my teenage daughter scold me over my excitement at that scene,
How dare she?
You're
that
making a
cannot be
scene, Dad.
done.
You're
Well,
embarrassing me.
exactly. It is what it was, Liz, is a dad embarrassing a teenage
You turn to her and you say, How dare you?
You shut your mouth.
You shut your mouth and you learn respect.
So number two, the opening sequence to Guardians of the Galaxy, the dance scene on the
Oh,
planet.
yeah.
Nice.
Totally.
And that is partially because of how original it was, how funny it was, as well as I had no desire to see that movie. I was part of the group that was like, this is where the MCU gets off the rails. This is going to be their flop. And after that opening scene, I was like, I'm in. I want all of this movie.
That's
So
100% true. That was the cold start that movie absolutely needed. If it was anything different, I think it would have turned a lot of people off. Even if the rest of the movie was still like awesome and the same, that start got everyone so excited about the movie.
Well, it just set the perfect tone.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it added more humor into the MCU, which was great. And then number three would be primarily because every time it is on, I laugh out loud. I've laughed out loud on planes seeing this scene multiple times. And, like, I don't mean chuckle. I mean, like, repeating the line, slapping my knee, people staring at me on the plane is puny God.
Yes, yeah. That was, like, a second honorable mention for me. Yeah.
And, I mean, I'm not entirely sure why, but that scene gets me every time.
Yeah. Totally in agreement with that.
I need to add a third one.
What you got?
Well, you can, because you only added two.
I know. This is the problem, though. And I agree with all of your assessments. I mean, I think that's the problem for me is that, like, I'll be like, oh, that was awesome, too. You know, but, like, I'm going to add, and it's in line with my number one, but I'm not going to put it in that category. But it's how they use number one against you in Civil War. And so you get those epic shots, but everybody's against each other. So you get to have these great shot, sweeping shots of Spider-Man and Iron Man and Black Panther, but you know that it's the juxtaposition is that they're all about to fight the other half of our team. And so the conflict between Tony and Steve, for me, the arc of it is going to be number three, because I think that, like, the way that they use what they have become so good at against us is so powerful and unexpected, because I was like, I'm not going to like Civil War because I don't like to see my favorites fighting. And I was so in for it. And the way that they followed that through into Endgame, when he's like, do you trust me? And you get the sort of resolution of that conflict and them and them taking on characteristics of each other, understanding each other deeper. I'm going to add that sort of, it's not really a moment. It's tough for me to just pick like one moment, because I know that each moment connects to so much of the grander picture. And that's what I love about it. So I'm going to put the fact that they use what we love about Marvel against us in Civil War. In such an amazing way to add those layers. So that's my third favorite.
Well, and the thing is, like, in comic book crossovers for years, I mean, that was really the attraction of it, was that either we got to see our characters, our favorite characters team up, you know, characters that weren't like in the same series type of things, or we got to see them fight each other, which was awesome. So we would, you know, get to see Wolverine fight Doctor Strange. And, you know, inevitably the big epic fight that they showed on the cover was really only a small conflict that was in the first five pages, because then eventually they would team up because they were fighting someone else. But that initial conflict was like some kind of a misunderstanding. That was like 9 out of 10 times when two heroes were shown fighting on a cover of a comic. That's what happened.
But I like when heroes have conflict, because I think it's very human. For us, like, I'm not bad, you're not bad, but we have conflict. And I think we see that, you know, it's a very prevalent thing of what we're dealing with in our culture is that there's no greater evil. There's no some horrible bad guy that wants to come kill babies and that we all need to band against them. It's humanity versus humanity. And I think when you see heroes fighting, you're like, neither of these are bad, but it's a perspective difference. And that's what I love about Cap and Tony is that you could easily take either side. I could easily see either side, but it's about the greater issue for each one and not being able to come to that right away and feeling like, because they're super powered, they have to fight to sort of reach the climax of that issue. So I love that sort of theme in general. So, I mean, I look forward to how else they'll use that. I mean, I think that the fact that X-Men have a lot of conflict with other characters in general is interesting to me. They have conflict with Inhumans. Wolverine has conflict with a lot of people. As a character, he just
he's
has
not a very friendly man
with everyone. But you still love him and you still want to see him succeed. So I love stuff like that. So the fact that the fact that Civil War did it so beautifully and had such a wonderful payoff in the end is, for me, just...
So, Tim, before we move on, who was the contributor that, you know, asked about, like, our future predictions or what we wanted to see?
Let's see. That was... Bring that up in a moment. That was Mets.
Okay. It'll never happen. But what? I would love a Wolverine Gambit buddy cop movie. Because when they teamed up in the comics, it was always my favorite. So yep. I want a Wolverine Gambit buddy cop movie. It won't happen, but that's what I would like.
I love the subgenre stuff. I think it's a lot of fun and MCU explores them very, very well. So let's see, the next one that we have here is something that Eric and I had Eric on the show when the two of you were, I don't know, turning into zombies or something.
Dead.
A few weeks ago. And we had a discussion on this, which interestingly enough, we didn't go as deep as I thought because Eric just kind of turned it off immediately and said, no, there's not going to be any issues with this. Which he actually had a really good argument for. But the question is, are we going to have any consequences to this 5-year time jump?
No.
And if so, what are they?
I'm going to say that I think that they will find a way to explore them in unique ways because Tony has like a throwaway comment about when you mess with time, but you'll see. Like he says something like, you know, but you'll see. And it's like such a throwaway in the middle of everything going on. And they don't really hit it hard, but I feel like, I think we're going to see in Spider-Man Far From Home that there are consequences to the multiverse.
Sure.
I mean, the fact that Mysterio says it, you know, doesn't Mysterio say it or?
Yeah.
Well, without even getting into the multiverse yet, just talking about the 5-year gap.
Oh, whoa. I see.
Liz jumped ahead in the
notes. I'm sorry. I was looking at the next point.
Yep. No, that's all right.
No.
No? You don't think so? John? Any?
No, but I think it's weird not to, especially with Far From Home and the high school. I feel like half of those kids are graduated. And so are they, you know?
Yeah, to me, it's a weird rabbit hole to go down because, I mean, there's real life repercussions like your mortgage and... just kind of weird stuff like that. But then there's some legit in universe stuff that, you know, are they going to explore it? How much are they going to explore it? You know, who ran Wakanda?
Yeah.
T'Challa was snapped away, you know? John, what kind of thoughts do you have on this?
I think it's something that they're going to make more their allude to. I think we'll see it more in Far From Home. I think after that, we'll see allusions to it. Okay. But to me, this is a perfect... If they want to do any deeper dives, it's Disney Plus is the place to do it. To kind of get into... Especially with some of the shows that we're going to have, like, you know, Falcon and the Winter Soldier and WandaVision. Mm-hmm. To me, that's more where to explore, you know, that a little bit and what those impacts are.
I think with the introduction of the multiverse, they're going to have a lot of, not to skip ahead, but I think they're going to have a lot on their hands to explain. And so I think that they're going to skip having to bring us into that. Unless it directly impacts the character, I think it would have been cool if, like, Ned had, like, graduated and was, like, 5 years older. And so now he's, like, some older, wiser, you know, sage coming back.
He's in college.
Yeah, like, I feel like things like that would have been an interesting way to introduce it without having to explain it.
Right.
But I think John's right. Like, maybe allusions to it, but nothing, like, concrete or deep by any means.
Yeah, I think
it's
there's...
They have the time.
I think that they're just very going... They're very much just going to, like, conveniently write it off. It's just...
Yeah.
Well, but we did also see a little bit of that in Endgame. Yeah. With the support group, so they did touch on it.
Well, they let you have the emotional impact without having to have a lot of the details about, like, what everybody went through. I mean, I think it was... I think that's what they do best, is they like bring you in on the emotional journey that characters go through.
Sure. Sure. All right. So as Liz had teased,
sorry.
No, it's fine. Totally, I mean, they do certainly tie together. We're going to talk a little bit about the multiverse. So I have like a few prompts in here to kind of talk about it and just what our thoughts are and some of the speculation. And this does give a nod to some of the remarks that we got in Discord about having some speculation, because the multiverse opens things like the door got kicked open with the potential of the multiverse.
Can I have a moment?
Sure.
Okay, I'm dragging my soapbox out.
Just one.
Just stand on it for a minute.
John, take a moment.
If in Thor Dark World, in Doctor Strange, we teased and kind of opened the door from the multiverse,
mm-hmm.
if the movie immediately following Endgame is going to deal with the multiverse, why? Why did we have to deal with all the dumb quantum realm crap? Why could we have not just used the multiverse to do all of the same things we did in Endgame and just been consistent, because we'd already introduced the multiverse?
And completely eliminate Ant-Man from the storyline. I absolutely agree with you, John. Thank you.
I'm actually okay with that too. But it was just the quantum realm always to me seemed like you didn't need it. You had the multiverse. You already did it. And then they're like, oh, that was great. We did all this stuff with, you know, the quantum realm. Here's the multiverse.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm a little annoyed by that.
And the thing is the quantum realm going to be the convenient plot tool that they used in Endgame and then we're never going to see it again? Is that basically just simply going to fold into... Oh, they absolutely could, but...
Right, they don't cancel each other out by any means.
But then it just gets really wacky. I mean, I actually have some reservations about the multiverse because it can make things really wacky, but it can also be very convenient for the writers to just say, oh, well, this exists because multiverse.
Yep.
You know, and I guess that's fine. It just depends... I just don't want to see it as the constant go-to explanation, you know, whereas we say like, well, why did this happen? Multiverse. Well, how about multiverse? But what about multiverse?
I don't think that they've shown that they're into like convenient excuses for things overall.
Right. I agree.
I'm not saying they never take the short way out. Of course they do. And it can happen, but I don't think as a whole, as Kevin Feige at the head and each individual person coming in writing, telling good stories, that they tend to phone it in as far as excuses for why something. I think they really bring us into not only why something might happen, and if they don't explain why it happened, they'll deal with the emotional impact of it happening in the first place, which allows you a different layer of dealing with it happening.
Yeah.
So like we're saying with the 5-year gap, I feel like I don't think they phone things in like that. So I don't think they're going to just be like, yeah, we don't have to tell you because we made this whole convenient thing. I just don't see them doing that.
Tim, it gives the writers vibranium plate mail armor class 45 armor for their plot holes.
I mean, lightsabers.
Well, that's different. But they need the plot armor, and it's now made of vibranium. It's armor class 47, very hard to get.
Mm-hmm. Sure. So we actually have names to two of the realities within the multiverse, and this comes right from the trailers that we've gotten for Spider-Man Far From Home, which basically fully confirmed the existence of the multiverse for us and really, I guess, grounded it a bit. So we have Earth 616, which is our reality. And this comes right from the comics. So basically, if you like go to Wikipedia or something like that for Marvel stuff, a lot of times you're going to look at an Earth 616 reference, because Earth 616 is essentially the primary canonical, for as canonical as comics can get, reality. especially if they did other storylines and other realities. So, and then Mysterio's Earth, the reality that he came from, which was Earth 833. And Mysterio says, there are multiple realities, Peter. This is Earth, Dimension 616. I'm from Earth 833. We share identical physical constraints, level 4 symmetry, whatever that means. And Peter responds, I'm sorry, you're saying there's a multiverse? So, looking specifically at what's right in front of us, which is Spider-Man Far From Home, we have the characters that we saw, especially in the first trailer, are basically are the elementals. So we saw the one made of water. We saw one made of earth, which some people are saying might actually be kind of a new iteration of Sandman.
Mm-hmm.
There is one made from what, fire?
I don't.
I mean,
I
if they're elementals, then yeah, that would be the elements.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
earth, wind, water, fire.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
heart.
You know, there's a thought. Are they? Are those entities from Earth 833? It would kind of seem so that, you know, maybe Mysterio followed them here when there was some kind of a rift. But then we also know that Mysterio, at least from the comics, is kind of this, he, you know, tends to pull things off on people so he can look like he's the hero. So maybe he brought the elementals with him to wreak some havoc, and then he could save the day and be the good guy. We don't, you know, we don't really know. You guys have any thoughts on the elementals? And
well, I mean, and Tim, until you brought that up, reading the quote as opposed to hearing it, it certainly seems like Mysterio knows a lot about the multiverse and
yes,
our Earth.
Mm-hmm.
And it would then fit with, if a rift or ability were to be opened, would fit his comic book character to be like, hey, they can't deal with this threat on Earth 616. If I go there, I can be the hero and God.
Right, right. Exactly. Because he can exploit it. And yeah, you're absolutely mm-hmm. right. He seems to know, he has information about this. It's not like there was this rift that opened and he accidentally, you know, tripped over the cat and fell into it.
And it's like, where am I?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So,
I mean,
like,
there's no,
he knows where he
616.
Is. Yeah, yeah, there's no sign. It doesn't pop up on, like, you know, Google Maps or something. Hey, you're in Earth 1616 now. So, yeah, there's definitely something there that drives his knowledge. So, a little further exploring this in the comics, Earth 833 did not have a Spider-Man. And it was actually a character called William Braddock, who is bitten by a radioactive spider, and he became Captain Britain. And he was then the pivotal person in the Captain Britain Corps, which are essentially interdimensional peacekeepers. And then that's where they are in the comics exploiting the multiverse concept, where they were able, the Captain Britain Corps, and primarily Captain Britain, was able to do this travel. So we're then kind of wondering, are we going to see some Captain Britain in the future? And there's some indicators for that. First of all, Kevin Feige mentioned in the past that there have been discussions about Captain Britain. There were some rumors back in September of last year that a Captain Britain and Black Knight movie was in development, which was being helmed by Guy Ritchie. And then we have the very interesting mention in Endgame, when Steve and Tony were back in 1970, and you remember that Steve, they're in the S.H.I.E.L.D. headquarters, and Steve finds his way into Peggy's office because he's stalking her. And he's listening.
Love.
And he's
he
listening.
He didn't know he was in her office.
He's listening to a conversation that she was having with someone else. And there was a mention about liaising with someone named Braddock. So again, in the comics, the only Braddock that there is Captain Britain. Mm-hmm. So, you know, are we going to see Captain Britain pop up? I throw that out to you guys. What are your thoughts there? Do you have any other thoughts of any speculation of what they might do with this Earth 833 kind of thing. And is Earth 833 going to be the only alternate dimension that we have interaction with, or will there be others?
It's not going to be the only alternate dimension, but I think you can guess if I have any speculation or not.
Because Liz is Liz.
I don't even like knowing this. I'm so mad at you for all the things you told me tonight. I don't like it. You're in trouble. And you should know that.
What thoughts do you have, John?
I mean, I think just in general, and we kind of touched on it from the start, I'd like them to be careful with the multiverse. I love the concept.
Mm-hmm.
I will say, I'm going to switch gears and Mike, get ready to do some fist pumping. In the Arrowverse, I think they do a good job with the multiverse. They use it as necessary and makes sense. The Flash maybe uses it a bit much, but, mm-hmm. you know, they kind of control getting back and forth to it, from what I can gather. But they don't use it as a crutch. They use it as necessary. It's not like, oh my God, we're having a problem with this villain. Hey, let's go to the multiverse and bring everyone over. Mm-hmm. And we'll just defeat this villain. Okay, next episode. Oh my God, a new villain popped up. So they use it sparingly. I think they use it well. This is a situation where if Marvel kind of followed suit in that, mm-hmm. I'd be okay with it. Using it when it has a purpose, not as a crutch.
Right.
So, I mean, the Earth, you know, 833, how many of them there are, I want to hold my judgment and kind of see. I think we're going to see more, but I'm going to trust that they know what they're doing with it. Okay, Mike, I'm done talking about the Arrowverse. You can sit back down.
So, I mean, the possibilities are kind of endless with where they can go and what they can do here. I personally don't have a whole lot of knowledge of what they've done with Earth 833 or even other dimensions when it comes to the actual comic book stuff. Jessica Chastain like broke her arm or something.
Tim, they can't see what you're watching.
I'm looking at the red carpet premiere for Dark Phoenix, and Jessica Chastain, like, her hair is beautifully done. She's got this great dress, and then she has a black cast on her right arm. And she didn't have it for the premiere of the last movie that she opened, like, 2 weeks ago. So
maybe she kicked someone's ass too hard.
Maybe.
Because she's kind of a badass.
She really True. Is. She truly True. Is. She's awesome. So, yeah, so anyway, that's something I don't have a lot of knowledge of, and I kind of need to do a little bit of research on just to kind of see what the possibilities are. But like I said, they really kicked the door open with it, and I think that really the possibilities are endless. They could kind of do whatever they
Absolutely.
Want. And, I know I said that I hope they don't use it as just a convenient excuse, but I agree with you guys that that's not the style of Marvel. It's not their writing style. I don't think they're going to continually use it as a convenient excuse. Hopefully we're just going to see it drive some really interesting plot lines, and it'll help introduce some characters, but I don't think it's going to be just like this constantly, like, exhaustively recurring thing.
Yeah, but I think that it will emotionally impact the people that we love in this verse and how they'll, you know, how they're going to interact with the world that they've created in the aftermath of trying to save it.
Right.
Which is an interesting concept and an interesting place for them to be put in.
Yeah.
Especially when you put, like, you know, the layers of something so basic, like Peter's crush on MJ, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, you're layering it in with these, like, very basic human emotions of, like, love and friendship, and then you've got, like, the multiverse with what do we do? So I love the many layers that they've created to be able to explore with something as big and broad and multi-layered as the multiverse.
Yeah, I agree. All right, So we've gone a little long this episode, a little over an hour and a half, but this is our 50th episode. We wanted to have some good discussion here.
And we do what we want.
And we do what we want. Yeah, exactly.
Because we're like Disney.
Like,
yeah.
We do
we
what
make
we
our
want.
Own rules, darn it. So with that, anything you guys want to bring up before we close out?
Go see Avengers Endgame again.
Yeah. Yeah, let's support Endgame taking that number one spot.
I was just looking at times, although I need to see Aladdin.
I saw John Wick 3 last night. It was fantastic.
I need to see John Wick 3 too.
I haven't seen anything because I can't last that long without going into coughing fits, and I don't want to be that guy in a movie.
Also, you shouldn't be around large groups of people. That's really when an outbreak is at its worst.
I'm not contagious.
You are, because you're going to be turning into a zombie, you know? I already told you that.
Oh, boy.
So nothing I want to add, but I do. Can I do a couple shout outs?
You absolutely can, John.
A couple people that I know are new listeners, and one bit of a funny story. So was at a wedding right kind of before the sickness came on. And at the wedding with my girlfriend, which if you listen to the bonus content, you apparently get to hear more about because Tim recorded that without telling us. And then I said, sure, go ahead. So we're at the wedding and everyone's gathered, you know, for the cutting of the cake. And my girlfriend introduces me to the groom's brother, Rich. Hi, Rich. He's like, oh my God, you're Jon Stewart. I love the Guardians of the Galaxy podcast or Guardians of the MCU podcast. And I was like, how does he know? And I completely forgot she had told him about the podcast because he's a fan of Marvel. But I'd completely forgotten that. And just for a random person meeting for the first time at a wedding to start talking to me about the podcast as his brother's cutting his cake really kind of threw me for a loop. Rich, thank you very much for listening, and hope your brother John had a great time on his honeymoon. Two other shout-outs. One is because if I'm giving shout-outs, I'll probably get in trouble at this point if I don't do this one, to Kristen, who is SD's bonus mom / stepmom, who I will see in Orlando. Right. And Liz apparently is coming with us now. Liz is also in Orlando. So... you know, we'll see how that goes. And then my daughter's basketball coach also has started listening to the podcast. So hi to Mike as well.
So many fantastic. New friends.
Like literally in the past couple of weeks, people have been like, you have a podcast on Marvel? And I'm like, yeah, they're like, what is it? I want to listen. So, I mean, actually part of this is also people spread the word because it has been a lot of randomness of like people being like, oh my God, I want to listen to your podcast. So there you go. But also send us your feedback. Best way to reach us is guardians at randomchatter.com. You can get to us in Discord. Tim talked about that at the top. All of our show channels are free. For $1 a month, you get into all of our channels on Discord. And if you contribute more, you get to listen to bonus content, which sometimes you know is being recorded. And sometimes you don't.
Exciting.
It can get really exciting. And most of the time, I don't care one way or another.
That was like an amazing transition, John. Like, that was I'm going to give you mad props for that.
That was solid. Liz, do you have any shout outs you want to do before we...
Penicillin.
I don't have any shout outs, actually.
Okay.
No, I don't have any. I don't have as wonderful a transition, but I do want to welcome the new friends and say thank you for letting us into your ears. We love being here in your ears, where we like to be. So thank you.
It's a little waxy sometimes, though, folks. Kind of clean up that gunk. Good God.
Judgmental. Jerry, don't wax shame them. We're happy to be here. We'll take what we get. You can send us your favorite gifts of ears on Twitter at Random Chatter. Definitely just send any gif of an ear or of people listening to things or, you know, anything of that nature. Definitely send it to us on Twitter at Random Chatter for the network. I'm at TWT About Lizzie, and Tim is at Qui-Gon Tim. That's Tim with two M's. And John is not on Twitter because he hates Twitter.
I do.
That's fact. It's a fact. I know. That's why I said it. But you can find him on the Instagrams at underscore John Stewart. That's underscore JonSTEWART. And you can also find the network at Random Chatter. And I am at The Wonderful Thing About Lizzie. And Instagram is my favorite.
Liz. Liz, next week, can we take a picture together and put it on our Instagrams?
Yes. And I'll tag you.
Awesome. Yeah, you guys absolutely have to have a picture for the fans.
Yeah.
And for me, because I'll be jealous.
And we're going to sign it, hashtag no Tim.
Oh, you guys are so mean.
But Tim, you can put your face in like I do in your picture.
Oh, that's true. That's
no,
true.
No, because that's creepy, Liz. That's weird,
creepy,
creepy stuff.
Liz, will you Photoshop Tim in for us?
Yeah, I will. Okay. I will do it.
I love you guys. And we love our listeners. And with that, folks, thank you very much for listening. 50 episodes, still going strong. We'll catch
Happy
you again
50th!
Next week.
Woo-hoo.
We needed a champagne noise.
Nice.
That was amazing.
Fantastic. Great episode, guys.